Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And more importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Let's play a game. I can't do that in the cool voice that Jigsaw does. That's the best I got.
Let me see you try. Let me try. Let's play a game. Did I do it?
That's pretty good. I don't know. We didn't get to our guest yet, but you know what? I'm going to let him get a try. Cam, you want to try it?
Let's play a game.
Oh, that was cool. Oh, my God.
I'll take it.
That was dope.
We need a little more grizzly, a little more tobacco voice. Yeah. We'll definitely get it next time. Well, obviously, we're doing Saw this week, but I'm just saying, Jigsaw, he sounded like he was smoking. He sounded like he had a lot of problems.
Yeah, for real.
But this week, we're talking about Saw. So how you doing, Jackie?
I'm good. I'm excited, man. Like, I revisited this movie after years. Cause I think I only saw it once. And then I watched all the other sequels, like, you know, whatever. But it was fun to revisit this movie after all these years. And it still holds up.
I'm super excited about this movie. Jackie knows this is one of my favorite horror movies, literally ever.
Yeah, like, he won't shut up about it.
I know people say, oh.
Yeah, he won't. Besides,
that is true.
Besides From Dusk Till Dawn, he would not shut up about this movie. Again, we were working on the progress of doing this podcast, so two movies he kept talking about every day was like, we gotta do Saw, we gotta do From Dusk Till Dawn, we gotta do this. And I'm like, okay, bro, okay.
She's 100% right. Between this and From Dusk Till Dawn, definitely two films that are in my top five. You know, at some point we might get through the rest of my top five, but I ain't gonna spill all the beans just yet. But before we even get into the film today, before we get into all the good stuff, I want to introduce my guests for today. This is my movie we're choosing today, and it is my guest, so that is dope. It is bringing on my homie Cam Perry. I met him on Twitter a while back. I was actually on his podcast, but let me bring him on. What's going on, Cam? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Like, I like that we're talking about Saw. It's, like I said, it's one of my favorite movies too. Like, it's definitely up there with like the Paranormal Activity, Friday the 13th, you know, Halloween. Halloween's like my favorite movie, but I like that we're talking I like we're talking about this movie because like, I never realized until I watched it a second time around, like on a rewatch, that how good like the movie actually was, especially the twists and turns that happened. Because if you watched it, you know, you thought certain things were going to happen. Then the movie kind of was ending too early. You know, when they reveal who you think is like the villain of a movie and then you watch it back and you're like, oh, that's not the guy, it's someone else. So I like that they got a twist like that. Like every movie has twists and the traps they have. So I'm really excited to talk about it.
Oh, great, man. You sound like an actual horror fan, which is always good to get on here. You know, we've had a few of my friends who are like, man, I don't really mess with horror like that. That horror stuff with the blood and the good and the crazy sound effects and all the cha-cha-cha and all that. Like, people be making up all the reasons for not liking horror. Then they get on here and start spilling the beans. But Cam sound like an actual horror fan. So, welcome aboard, my man.
Yeah. I love those movies. Yeah, for sure.
Before we get into it, I want to ask you, though, like, what's your relationship with horror? Like, your likes, dislikes, what are some of your favorites?
I'm not really big on, like, the really scary movies like that. Because some people like the jump scares and all that stuff. For me, I like just a real good movie that, like, makes you think. Like, I think we mentioned this before that the podcast started. Where it's kind of like, it's scary, but it's scary on the sense that, you know, you see how people really are. I like movies like that. Because I feel like if you have a villain that kind of makes someone reveal who they truly are, I think that is more of a scary movie than some movie where it's kind of like, a lot of stuff happens and it's like unrealistic in a way. So that's why I like Saw, because Saw is like a movie where like the guy who's orchestrating everything, he like is like kind of like the judge, jury, and executioner. And I like movies like that. That's why I like Saw. I like, and it was another movie I like, you should like. Paranormal Activity is another good movie. I know I mentioned this already. And that movie is kind of interesting because you actually like, you don't know what's going on, but it's like, that's the magic behind it. It's like, you know, you don't know what's going on, and that makes people kind of say, oh, this is some supernatural stuff, but I like supernatural stuff too. Like, I'm real big on watching, like, I don't know. Same. You watch Vampire Diaries. Have you ever watched that show?
Yeah, I was a big fan of it. Like, the first 3-4 seasons were fantastic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard Supernatural's good too, but I never watched that. Like, I heard people love that show. Like, but I think the show's still going on. I don't know if the show's still going on or not, but
I think it just ended recently, yeah, actually. It was like 13 seasons or something.
Something crazy. Like, I don't know how a show can still be on that long and still be good. Like, I always say, like, after like five, maybe six seasons max, that's the most the show should be on. After that, I feel like they just kind of retread like previous plot points that happened in an earlier season.
Yeah. To outdate myself a little bit, but when Supernatural first aired, I was in high school. I think I was a sophomore in high school or junior when Supernatural came out, and it just ended, and I'm 10 years removed from college. So, yeah. Did you ever watch Vampire Diaries, Jackie?
The first season, because you're the one who told me about it. You were the one that was just like, oh, yeah, you should watch Vampire Diaries. And then I watched the first season, and then that was it. I kind of fell out of it. But, yeah. And Supernatural. I saw the first season of Supernatural.
And then you just stopped?
Yeah, because there was other stuff I was watching. And, then, you know, I have a small brain at the time, so I couldn't keep up with so many things I was watching.
Good point. I'll take it. I think for Supernatural, I stopped around season maybe 6 or 7. I was like, all right, I'm just done now. Kind of like what Cam said, they start rehashing plot points. I was like, I'm good. I need a break. I'm going to just pull out. Vampire Diaries, I stopped purely because it got really bad at some point. I don't hate the show, but it definitely got really bad at one point. And I was like, thank God they made the spinoff The Originals, which is a far better show, yeah, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one was. But I feel like The Vampire Diaries got to a point where they did too many spinoffs. Like, they got, like, another spinoff, I think, right now. I forgot what it's called. But, like, I'm like...
Legacies.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, Legacies. I watched, like, season one of that, and I was like, it felt like it was too... It was, like, the worst things of Vampire Diaries in that show. If anyone's ever watched that show... Like, the worst parts of that show, when you watch Vampire Diaries, is literally what Legacies is, the whole show. And I'm like, none of the characters are interesting. The Originals actually had interesting characters. It's like the best characters on that show got their own spinoff. Like, you know, Klaus, like, he was an amazing character.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of messed up that they kind of killed him off, but, you know, he was definitely interesting.
We might actually have to bring you back for that in the future, because Originals is one of my favorites. We could probably talk about that in the future. That show was dope. Let's get to the main event now. Let's talk about my baby.
Here we go.
I'm gonna get an unbug Jackie this whole episode, because I know she can't wait till this over, because she's like, you finally can stop talking about it. But let's get to Saul, baby. Let's talk about Saul. So I guess we could do a quick summary of the movie. You know what, Cam, you are our special guest. You want to do a quick summary of the movie?
Yeah. So I honestly thought Saw on a rewatch was really, really amazing to me. I know I talked about this earlier. I like that when you go into the movie, you have a expectation of kind of how it's going to go. You know, usually movies where that there's two characters that are like the main, quote unquote, main characters of the film. You see, okay, they're going to be around for the long haul. You see, okay, like they're stuck in this trap, like almost all the Saw movies are pretty much. They're stuck in a trap. They have to figure out how they beat the trap, because usually Jigsaw, like, he has it set up in a way where you can't beat the game. So I love just playing games in general. So if I can figure out a way where I think, okay, like, maybe this could work. And they kept trying to figure out how to beat the game the whole way through. And they tried to trick who they thought Jigsaw was. And then towards the end of the film, the twist was, you know, they thought that they got Jigsaw. They thought they killed him. But actually, he was inside the game the whole time. He was pretty much like, once the game started, he was in the game. He wasn't a component of the game whatsoever. That was like a big twist to me, because I was like, man, like, this is kind of anticlimactic. You know, you killed the guy who's Jigsaw, and then that's it. Like, now they can just get out there. And it was kind of crazy, because the guy, the doctor, you know, he amputated one of his legs. And I thought that was crazy, because, you know, the other guy, Adam, I think his name is Adam, he was trying to stop him. He was like, hey.
Yeah, it was Adam.
Yeah, he was like, stop. But he was, but the doctor was so fixated on trying to save his wife and his daughter that he wasn't even thinking about anything else. Like, he was psychologically, he was just completely mentally out of it. Like, I think that was the thing that kind of pretty much tipped him off. And he wasn't, after that, wasn't the same after that, because, you know, when you have someone that's already, like, messed up because they thought that they lost everything, and they're trying to save their own life pretty much, because it's like a fight or flight type thing where, you know, if you or I were in the same situation, will we react the same way? You know, because some people say, man, I would never done that. But then when you, you know, but when you get the same situation than that, I mean, hopefully we don't, you know, you're like, okay, you know, I can see that it's realistic in a way, because most people would probably act the same way. You know, they're scared for their life. They think they're going to die. And then they see if their family is going to die too. So, and I think it was cool that the guy who, you know, who they thought was dead, wasn't really dead. And he was actually Jigsaw at the end. And that made it like just an interesting touch. And then Adam, he was trying to, you know, kill the Jigsaw. And Jigsaw at the end was like, you know, humans, you know, they don't have, what do you say, something about humanity or whatever?
They don't value life. They don't see life as precious, but you will learn how to appreciate life.
Yeah. And then it ended up with that. So I think that was pretty dope that they kind of went full circle, and there was like stuff that you probably didn't really expect unless you watch it again. You're like, oh, okay, bad. This is, I see why he did what he did. I would have done that, yeah. But he was kind of like the judge, jury, and executioner in a way where he was pretty much like only getting people that really were messed up. Like, and it made sense because, like, you know, he don't usually get people that are like law-abiding citizens, people that are good people. He usually gets people that are messed up, and he tries to make it so, okay, you know, you did some messed up things, so I want to punish you for this, pretty much type thing.
Yeah, and it's funny. I feel like Saw, I know you added a bit of your first impression in there as well, but I know, like, for Saw, I feel like Jigsaw at times has his own definition of what valuing life is.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that as we talk about more of the film, but I feel like that line between how he picks his victims sometimes is a little bit blurry. Like, it's clear, but it's a little blurry. But, yeah, we'll get into that. But, yeah, thank you, Cam. You basically summed it up perfectly. It's two dudes wake up trapped in a room, chained to a pipe, and they don't know how to get out. And then one guy's family is in danger, and the other guy's just general life is in danger. And they pretty much both their lives are in danger the whole time. And you don't necessarily know why or who's in charge or who's maneuvering or engineering this game. And, yeah, that's pretty much Saw in a nutshell. And mm-hmm. You had no idea about that going into it. It's a really interesting film. But even knowing it, it changes things a little bit. But, yeah, I guess we get into first impressions. Cam did a little bit of his. But, Jackie, first impressions.
So when this movie first came out, I used to go to the movies all the time with my brother. He used to always take me. That was our thing. When we were deciding what we should watch, I was just like, oh, let's go watch Saw. Because, you know, like, I mean, I mentioned it before in, you know, the podcast. I grew up loving horror movies since I was 3. So it was like a tradition in my family. So we went. I remember us sitting there watching it, being like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? And the ending. When that ending happened, I can hear everybody in the theater going, no way. What? Like, everybody was just shook. I was shook. He was shook. And I remember leaving the theater being like, I did not see that coming. And my brother, who's like a really big, you know, movie fan, just any fan fanatic and horror fan as well, he was just like, that was really smart. I was like, that was smart. That was clever as hell. Like, I've never seen a movie do that before. Well, besides, you know, 7. You know, rewatching the movie now, it does remind me so much of 7. And I know in when they were making this movie, you know, James and Leigh, they kind of did take some elements from some 7 that inspired this whole thing. And I was just like, yeah, I could see it. This is like another version of 7, but like way more like intricate. And yeah, it's just, it was just really good. Like, I really forgot how good it was. And again, rewatching it, I was just like, wow, this was really, really well done. Like, holy shit, they really did something with this. Okay, I'm done.
I guess I'm getting some mod real quick. That's kind of funny that you said that. He's like, I wish I'd have saw this in theaters. Like, just based on what you just said, you're like, oh, everybody in theaters was shocked. Like, I unfortunately didn't get a chance to see this movies in theaters when it came out. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it maybe a year later or so when it was on DVD. That was the first time I watched it. But I remember one of my friend's first impressions of the trailer for the film, because I think I saw the trailer maybe one time when it came out. It wasn't exactly heavily promoted, mm-hmm. at least not that I can recall. Maybe my friends were at the theaters. We saw like the posters on the wall back when that was a thing, back when movie theaters were a thing. We saw the poster on the wall and I was like, Saw, what the hell is that? And one of my friends was like, oh, dude, the trailer was like crazy. It's like these two dudes trapped in a room and you don't know why or how, and they're trying to figure out how to get out or they might die. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then I just kind of never heard of the movie again for like a year or so. Like, no one really mentioned it. I didn't see trailers or anywhere or anything. So I kind of forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Until a while later, a good friend of mine, he was like, oh, dude, I got this movie on DVD you need to check out. It's called Saw. And I was like, why does that sound familiar? And he was like, oh, remember when it was coming out, I told you about the trailer? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then we sat down to watch it, and my mind was blown the whole way through. I was like, yo, this movie is crazy. The traps are the first thing that really catch your attention about this movie, is like the way people are dying. It's not just like a slasher type thing where there's just a guy in a mask hacking everybody up. Like, just to what Cam said, it's smarter than that. It's more clever than that. Mm-hmm. Like, the traps are set up in a way where, like, there's a chance of survival, even if it's slim, there's a chance. It's all engineered and manipulated and thought through. And Jigsaw himself is easily one of my favorite horror characters, ever, because it's so much more than just, like, hack him up and kill him. It's like, there's a game within the game. There's the game that you're in, which is the traps. And then there's the next level of the game, which is, like, the overall story and how it ties into the things that the events that are taking place. And yeah, this movie made me a big fan of the franchise. It became like a tradition for me, and my girlfriend, me and Anastasia. We would go every year when a new Saw came out. We were in theaters for opening weekend because it came out close to my birthday. So it became a big, big thing in my household. But I love it. This movie, revisiting it, I like it even more, honestly, now revisiting it than when I first saw it. When the first time I saw it, I was just so blown away by everything about it. But watching it now, I was like, kind of like Cam said, holy shit, this movie still holds up. Like, it holds up perfectly. Like, wow. All right. Y'all was really onto something. And I just kind of laughed while watching it when the credits rolled up and it was like director James Wan. I laughed because I was like, it's the same dude that made Aquaman. Like, how the fuck? That's some versatility. This man made Aquaman. He made Saw. That's amazing. But yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy takeaway. It's insane. It's a great movie, man. One of a kind. But Cam, I want to ask, I know you said you're a fan of Saw. Did you keep up with all of the sequels, or you just kind of watched the first one and called it a day?
Yeah, like, I've watched the other ones over the years a few times. Like, I recently watched Jigsaw. Actually, I watched it twice. The first time I watched it was like before it came out in theaters. I think I had like a press release type thing where I reviewed the movie and stuff. And then the second time I watched it again, and actually, like, it made me want to watch the other ones again. But for some reason or another, after I watched Jigsaw the second time, I never got back to watching some of the other ones except like the fourth, fifth, and the sixth one. Like, those ones are pretty good. I thought the seventh one was okay, in my personal opinion, but that's just, you know, what I think. But I really like the series, though. Like I said, I like that there's like a game within a game. And sometimes, like, you see that there's a game going on, but you don't realize there's another game going on within that game, which I think makes like levels to it, like you said. Because, like, you know, like, sometimes you think you beat the game and then you realize, oh, no, I haven't, you know. And I think the third Saw, they killed off like some of like my favorite characters from the whole franchise. Like, I don't know if y'all watched the third one recently, but like it was kind of depressing because, you know, sometimes you get invested in a certain characters and then they get killed off. And you're like, dang, like, it's like
which characters do you like that they killed?
I forgot off the top of my head, but it was like two of my favorites from the whole franchise, though, that I really was depressed when they got killed off. It's like what movie was it? The Halloween films, when they killed off like some of the main characters, and then you realize, oh, mm-hmm. Nobody's safe. Because you think that, you know, when they're like the pillars of the franchise and they kill them off, you're like, okay, guess anyone outside of Michael Myers is, you know, a fair game pretty much. So
yeah.
Even though they're kind of retconning some of that stuff, like with the, I don't know if you have you watched the new Halloween film? The newest one that came out. Yeah, they kind of retconning that whole situation. So we know that they're going to probably stay alive for these, they're doing like three sequels or something like that. Or two sequels.
Something like that. Yeah, Halloween Kills and then possibly another one.
Yeah. They're filming them back to back or something like that. So at least you know that they're going to be alive for the finale, whatever that is. But, and I'm kind of over the little trilogy type things. Like, I feel like if a film is like good, you shouldn't like stretch it out for three films if it's like a film that only needs two films to tell the complete story. That's a whole nother tangent, though. But
I feel you on that. We definitely gonna come back to the idea of like trilogies and all of that stuff. How about you, Jackie? Beyond like just this film, which we'll get more in depth about specific scenes, but like, did you keep up with the franchise after this one, or did you tap out?
No, I tapped out. After the third one.
So you didn't even see part two? Or you just...
No, I saw the second one. I remember the sequel. I saw... I think I watched the third one. I don't remember if the other ones, because I remember there was one where he was in his dying bed, but then after he died, they kept making movies. I'm just like, why? He did. Why do you keep making these? It's done. God. I was just like, whatever. I'm done. And I always told Kendall this. I was like, this is like one of the franchises that I kind of was just like, oh God, they're just milking it for the money. They don't even care anymore. It's like, I get the storyline. I get it, but I just can't. Like, once it's three, after that, I'm just like, eh. You know, I'm just like, nah. But I topped out after three.
I feel you. You're not the only one. Yeah. A lot of people felt that way, definitely. After the third one, they were kind of like, why we keep doing this? I like several friends I know who are big fans of the original trilogy were just like, why are they keeping this going? And I kind of got that vibe a little bit, even though I was an adamant fan of like the entire franchise. Like, I watched every single one of them. Mm-hmm. I would say only like probably two or three of them I weren't big fans of, but for the most part, the franchise I would say kind of held up. So, mm-hmm. But we'll talk about the sequels even more as we go further. But I guess let's talk more about the plot for this film. I would just say this rewatching this, the plot on this is more clever than I even originally anticipated. Especially knowing what I know now about like all of the sequels and knowing who the killer is and all of that stuff. Because when I was watching it, Anastasia was watching with me and she was just kind of like, we know it's Jigsaw. And I was like, no, you know it's Jigsaw because we've seen the sequels. This was the first one. Nobody knew who the killer was. Mm-hmm. We were all just sitting through it like, oh, I guess it's that guy. I guess it's that guy. None of us knew anything. But mm-hmm. And I was like, it's even smarter now when you know it's Jigsaw because you're like, okay, so you have the cop, you have Danny Glover in there, which is dope because Danny Glover is a great actor and he was really great in this as well. You mm-hmm. have Danny Glover as the cop that's trying to chase down Jigsaw and discover who's in charge of what, who's actually doing it. You have the doctor who's trapped in a room with Adam, who is a photographer. You don't know what their relationship and by any means is. You have, briefly, but you have Amanda, who is the one person who actually survived the trap that Jigsaw put her through. And you have a bunch of mm-hmm. dead bodies in a wake who have died every which way. And it was kind of funny looking at it now because almost everybody involved in some way, whether they were a victim or a suspect, is now essentially a part of the plot for the movie. Like, not just this movie, but I mean even the future, because in the sequels, Amanda becomes one of his apprentices. Mm-hmm. The doctor, he becomes one of his apprentices in the future. Adam dies, but so it was like everyone was kind of involved in a really, really weird way. It was really interesting. Like, what did you guys think about that? Like, it's like, we'll start with you, Jackie. Like, what did you think about that? Denise, have you seen some of the sequels?
I thought it was, yeah. Because it's funny how they showed Amanda in the sequel, but then she kind of like rigged everything because he was so mad at her in the sequel. He's just like, no, they're supposed to survive. Even if they don't, they're supposed to have a chance. And she was like, no, death everywhere. And I'm just like, damn, girl, who hurt you? But yeah, like, it is interesting. The plot was definitely like, yeah, because watching it now, you know why he did what he did. And you kind of get it. At the same time, you know, like Cam said, like, I wouldn't go into that length of it. I understand what he's trying to say, you know, because, you know, it, especially with Amanda's character, you know, his whole purpose of these death traps, you know, was for them to value their lives, you know, appreciate what they have instead of being so greedy for other things. And then with Amanda being the sole survivor, you know, when the cops were interrogating her, she was just like, he helped me. He got me off, you know, she stopped doing drugs, you know, she stopped, you know, freaking inserting needles in herself. Cause she was just like, holy shit. Yeah. I value my life. Whole crap. And it was interesting. Yeah. Cause that pretty much was the lesson. That was the whole point of the game. Value your life. If you get out, don't be a crappy person. You know, like, be decent. And it was really interesting and smart. Because I've never, again, like, I've only briefly saw this mentioned in 7. You know, a little bit of that. But this mm-hmm. was just, like, a whole different thing. Like, this was expanded. This was, like, more so than 7. And like, it was just really smart writing on both parts of, you know, of James and Lay. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I feel like you stole a lot of the points I was going to say, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do, because I feel like when they get caught up in these traps and get caught up in the game, they don't realize why they got caught up in it. And I think that's like even more interesting, because they realize, oh, I'm a shitty person, and they don't realize they're a shitty person until they talk to someone else that's a shitty person. They're like, oh, okay, I'm not the person I thought I was. And I think just having that enlightenment, even if they die, they're like, okay, like they accepted that, you know, they're not who they thought they were. They didn't, their life isn't as great as they, or maybe it's, you know, shitty. Sometimes it depends on the person really, but mm-hmm. I like that he doesn't really like discriminate who his targets are. And like, usually everything's set in stone way in advance. Like it's like so intricate. That's what I like about all the movies, is that he plans stuff so far ahead that you're like, man, like, I don't know how he was able to plan this and connect all these different people to his game like that. Because like, I know, like, if I was someone in his shoes, I'd be like, I feel like it'd be very difficult to keep doing this every single movie, like, and still like not have any errors in what he's trying to do. We mentioned before, he wants people to have a chance to win the game. It's not like most villains where there's no chance that you'll survive. Because like all the other movies that we mentioned before, like, you know, you're pretty much going to die. It's just a matter of when you're going to die. While this guy, he's not really trying to make sure that you die like off rip. He wants you to have a chance to live. And, you know, like we mentioned before, value your life so that you don't make the same mistakes again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who would have thought all of this would happen because a dude caught cancer? Like, that was
crazy.
Yeah.
That's really what all of this is. It's all like, they mentioned it in the first one as well. Like he's like, he was sick. He has a cancer that's killing him. I think possibly colon cancer, something like that, that's killing him. So they mentioned that, and you know, they get deeper into the ideology behind a lot of this in some of the sequels. And they're like, well, yeah, he I think in the second one, they tell you he found out he had cancer. He tried to kill himself. It didn't work. And then he kind of was essentially reborn with like this new purpose in life and this new meaning and new love for life. And he was just like, other people need to value life. And then he kind of started to put these things in place. And it's really funny. It's kind of funny. Like it shouldn't be funny, but it's kind of funny to me, because I remember, I think around the fifth or sixth one, he literally targets his healthcare company. Like, those were his target. Was that the, I can't remember which one. I think that was the sixth one where he targets a healthcare company. It was like they denied him coverage and then he kills all of them.
Yeah.
He's a king for that. I respect that.
Yeah, word. If they just gave us do some healthcare, we probably could have kept a lot of people alive, because that might be the moral of the story here, because he literally killed all of the healthcare workers at the company that denied him coverage. And he told him, even Eddie Winslow, I think, was in the cast for one of for that one. It's like, it's really, he's a really interesting character, man. He's a really, really complex character. Mm-hmm. But I would say, let's go back to the first one. Before you get the big reveal at the end of like who Jigsaw actually is, like, I guess we'll go with you, Cam. Who did you think it was? Did you think it was Zap? Did you think it was something else going on? Who did you think it was before they did the big reveal?
Like, I thought it was Zap for the longest, but then they revealed him too early. Like, you know, when they kind of reveal someone that's like, you think is the villain, and it's like, it's too straightforward. Like, I'm like, there's no way the plot is this guy is the villain. Like, you know, because like you have, mm-hmm. you have like an idea, okay, Zap is the villain. They keep showing this guy a lot, and he seemed like the only guy outside of this other guy that we really don't know nothing about. Because remember, like, they had that scene where the cop and his partner was chasing, you know, Jigsaw, and then, you know, they couldn't get him. And then, you know, his partner died, you know, and then, you know, mm-hmm. the cop, you know, he mm-hmm. pretty much went on a vendetta to stop him at that point. Because I think he was probably, like, thinking about maybe quitting the case. Like I feel like he wasn't really, like, committed with it. Like, he was kind of, like, giving up on it. And then all of a sudden, when his partner died, he was like, yeah, I got to kill this dude. Because this dude, you know, he can't live, let my partner die like that. That's how I got out of the film. Because it was interesting. Because, like, once the film got towards the end, I was like, okay, this is too easy. But there's no way this guy who's able to do all these different games is able to get caught like that. So it had to be someone else that we haven't really been properly introduced to. And then that's when I was like, okay, when the reveal happened, I was like, oh, okay, I see. I didn't think he was actually like in the actual game though. Like that was the real reveal that I was shocked with, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't necessarily expect him to be a part of it either. How about you, Jackie? What'd you think?
Same. I only suspected, you know, Zap. That was it. You know, I didn't think it was anybody else. I was like, okay, it has to be him. And then, yeah, the big, like I mentioned before, the big reveal was just so shocking. No one saw that coming. Everybody was just like, what? But yeah, it was just, it's okay. So I'm kind of going to get into like a fun fact right now. So
go for it.
The scene when, you know, Donald Glover saw his partner get shot and killed. So when they were done filming, James Wan has said how they totally forgot to film that scene. The film was edited and they were just like, holy shit, we didn't film this. So they had to get a small team together and then film it and then add it into the film last minute so that it could be cohesive. But that scene wasn't in the original. Crazy. They forgot about it. And so after, they're like, oh my God. And that happened a lot of times too, that he said that how they had to reshoot certain things or edit things because they realized there were so many plot holes. But that was one thing they added after it was edited and weaseled it in.
That's the guy he did. Because without that scene, he's just pretty much seems like a somewhat jaded cop who can't catch his guy. Like, he's not like a intense motivation besides, you know, just getting the guy, but adding his partner being killed. You know what made me, it kind of made me laugh? His partner, I can't remember the actor's name, but his partner, the Asian guy who was Danny Glover's partner, he was the villain in Rush Hour.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he played Jackie Chan's brother or someone. I forgot, but yeah.
No, not his brother. It was just some guy that he like knew or whatever. And he was like the main villain that they fought. And I think he had like blonde hair in that movie.
He had white hair. Beautiful white hair.
Was that the guy they thought was Jun Tao? Was that the guy we're thinking of?
I think so, yeah.
I always get the Rush Hour 1 and 2 mixed up. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm real bad with that. Like I feel like those movies, like, you know, we can talk about that on and then maybe another episode or something else. But I feel like Rush Hour is an underrated film. Like, that's a film that, like, first and second one, classics.
Oh, definitely. I love those. Whenever I catch those on TV, I watch them 100 times over because they're too funny.
Yeah, I can't wait it. And they're making a third one, too. They're making a new one. I'm excited for that.
You mean a fourth one?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Wait, there's three already?
Yeah, there's three. Yeah, the third one's all right.
The third one came out a while back.
Yeah, it's all right. So if you haven't seen it, you know, it's fine. The first two are, like I said, are the ones that people watch.
Probably why I don't remember it. It's like, don't remember the third one.
The third one is with he's at with Jackie Chan's brother.
Okay. But,
You sound so unenthused to watch that. You're just like, all right.
No, because I really don't remember that. I was just like, wait, I knew he had a brother. So it was the third one then. Okay. I really forgot about that. I just remember the first two.
It's just like what Cam said. It was okay. It's not as good as the first two. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, kind of like Saw. The first few Saws, fantastic. After that, it's all right. Like, it's okay. Like, I kind of stuck with it, I think, past like four, because each film left you with a few nuggets of like understanding Jigsaw and just some of the origin stuff. But outside of that, I would say some of it, you could definitely take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the traps. Like, where does, Cam, what are one of your favorite traps? Like, whether it's in this one or even some of the other ones, what's one of your favorite traps? Or some of your favorite traps?
Yeah, I think this one was interesting because I think the trap where they kind of like, they had to, you know, like the cigarette thing that they were showing, like, you know, remember when they had the clue where, you know, he was talking about like the cigarette and then he was saying that it wasn't poisonous, but the blood, you know, that was the blood that was there on the floor was, you know, like poison. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was interesting. Then they tried to trick who they thought was Jigsaw when it really wasn't Jigsaw. I think that was a cool, like, I guess part of the game that like I said, when you know who he is, you're like, okay, this makes sense. But since they thought that the guy watching him was Jigsaw, I think it was interesting. And also, like, they didn't realize there was another person playing the game with them. I think that was like another level too. Because the, you know, Zap, he was playing the game with them. Jigsaw had him too. So, and that's not the part that they knew about until like when everything kind of the reveal happened. So I think that was cool that he kind of like, he had like a safety measure in place, like in case they actually did figure out a way to kind of cheat the game, like how he can make sure that there's only going to be one person that comes out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shit was something else. What were some of your favorites, Jackie?
From the first ones, definitely the reverse bear trap, the one on Angela's face. Like, that's the most iconic one. That's just crazy and scary. And they had a special effects guy that did make all the traps. It's just crazy. Even like in the sequels, like I think my other favorite one is probably the butterfly one where it just rips your ribcage open.
Mm-hmm.
That one was also like, oh my God. And yeah, it was just so intricate and clever. You know, like they're, it's funny, behind the scenes, they were just so happy with it. They were just like, yay, the traps. Like, but I would say that one for the first one was my favorite. The third one, yeah, the third one had the reverse, the butterfly one. Yeah, where it rips your ribcage open. but in the first one, yeah, the reverse bear trap.
Yeah, those are dope. If I had to pick one favorite, my favorite would probably be, it's kind of a tie. So it's between the one and the third one with the guy. Remember, the third one was about the guy whose child was hit by a car and he had to go through a series of traps of like forgive the people who were involved. Who mm-hmm. kind of
is it a twist,
led to
is
no
it
one being charged.
One? Is it a twisting one with the guy?
Yes, the twisting one.
Oh, that one was just so dark and oh.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
But they had like, it was a contraption on like every single limb that the guy had and it would just like twist each one by one.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was insane. I was like, I don't even know how he thought of some of this. I know you said some of it was like from a kid's imaginations or like crazy just dreams and stuff. And I'm like, that, I feel like that's the only way you could come up with something as insane as some of these traps have been.
Yeah. I think, cause this is, Saw came out at the same time when Hostel was out. So they kind of started the whole torture porn genre that we have now in horror movies, as well as, you know, body horror and just shock horror. And I remember when they were doing like a quick interview with a whole bunch of the creators, you know, with Eli Roth, and when they were talking about Saw, Eli Roth has said that how like some of those contraptions that they use on Saw and even some on Hostel, they kind of are based in medieval contraptions that they actually use on people to torture them. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that he actually would look this up. Yeah, because people would look these up and be like, oh my God, that reminds me of this thing and that thing. Because the spinning thing in the third one, that actually does resemble a medieval torture device where they did use that to pull your limbs apart as a form of torture.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's that's crazy. I didn't know that, but that makes sense because when you watch like old like medieval films or whatever, like I don't know if y'all watched A Knight's Tale. Y'all watched that?
Oh, yeah, I have. I love that movie.
With Heath Ledger?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I think that was, like, rest in peace to him, but I think that's one of his most underrated films, and, like, that's a film that holds up really well, too. Because it's, like, I like films that kind of, like, the plot's kind of simple, but it has charm to it. And I think that's one of those mm-hmm. films where it's, like, I wish mm-hmm. I was around that time period, because I feel like medieval times is, like, one of the most interesting time periods. Like, it's kind of risky, because, like, there's a lot of stuff that could happen to you. But I think just the whole era and like what they, you know, everything about it is just interesting to me. Like, I like to ride a horse and do those jousting events and stuff. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. It is a very unique time period. I feel like even a lot of like video games and stuff just never leaves that time period. Because you get like everything from just like how different the time is, right? Like, you don't have cell phones. You may not even have phones yet. The way people interact is entirely different because there's like a bartering system. So as well as like trading, there's so many different elements within that world that just kind of create its own unique, special thing that we probably will never go back to, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a lot of dangers that come with that, especially if you run into traps like the shit from this movie. And in that time period, that's insane. Like, that's humans are crazy. Humans are something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this movie, though. But yeah, like, it's just interesting because, like, yeah, like this film, Saw and Hostel, and I forgot what else was out at the time when this was released, but they were the ones that did start the whole torture porn. You know, it didn't exist until, I mean, one can say, well, there's a Cannibal Holocaust. Like, yeah, but Cannibal Holocaust kind of revolutionized found footage. That's what they did. But when it came to, you know, James Wan and Lay's whole idea of Saw, which apparently started out as a short film. You know, Lay made this whole short film. It was like a little project. He sent it out to people. People were just like, oh my God. Some people were just like, oh, this is interesting. And that's kind of how Saw came to be. It was based on that. You know, what he did, what they did. And then, you know, Eli Roth of Hostel. Like, it really did change so many things that now we do have torture porn movies. And it's because of them. You know, they added that sense to it. Where it's like, I guess, kind of like, not not making fun of it, but like also bringing about like, you know, snuff films. You know, I mean, I think we all know what snuff films are. And if you don't look it up. Don't look it up if you don't know what it is. You're not going to enjoy it. But we kind of all know what that is. And that's basically what this is too. And I don't know if you guys know about this movie, but I remember there was also a film called Fear.com. And that movie also...
Yeah, I remember that.
That also, you know, was torture porn and also like made fun of the black internet, like the dark internet, the dark web, and also snuff films in general. So, yeah. So let's thank Saw for that. We wouldn't have these films like Human Centipede or any of this if it wasn't for Saw for what they did. Because we would not get all these torture porn films. Or like even The Collector. You know, The Collector's also a torture porn type movie. So thank you, Hawk. Thank you, Saw.
I haven't checked out The Collector yet, but that's yeah. That's a good point, though. But, you know, I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. You know, I'm going to mention torture porn stuff and then we'll get into the snuff film stuff because I have a few kind of opinions. But how do you, I guess, Cam, how do you feel about like the genre or the idea of torture porn like as a thing? Like, are you a fan of it? Are you like, do you even view Saw as it? What do you think?
Yeah, like I like movies, not really torture porn, but movies where like there's like some type of game involved. But there's like a short like indie film. I forgot what it was called, but it's kind of like Saw, but like, it's like a movie where like there'll be a guy like kind of like Jigsaw where they'll play a game with people and there's like maybe 300 people that start the game. Right. So it's kind of like on steroids, like it's like a bunch of people that are playing the game and toward the end of the film, there's only gonna be one person left. And every time that, you know, you amp up the game, less and less people are still in the game. But like movies where like people are trying to figure out, okay, like, I know at worst, only one of us is going to survive, but there is a way to get around this game. And I like stuff like that. We have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like movies where it's just like, they're just torching the heck out of people. And it's just a real gory and stuff. And I think that's happened with Saw. Like, it got to a point where they just got gory for no reason. Like, it wasn't really as much like thought process and like how we can make this interesting and not be something that's like a retread of what happened in the previous movies that we saw. So I like movies like that where you have to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, going back to what Cam said, that's kind of why I kind of like dropped off the Saw franchise, because like you said, after a while, even after the third one, it really just became gory just for gory's sake. You know, there was no plot, there was no story, there was no drive. You know, it was just like, I'm just going to torture you and that's it. You know, blood, 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 blood. You know, I mean, one could say, well, Hostel did it. Yeah, but that's different. Hostel was different. There's a reason why they did it for Hostel and Hostel 2. And I didn't even know the third one. There's a third Hostel too, which I didn't even know existed. But yeah, like after the third Saw, it just felt like it was just a gore fest. Like there was really nothing to it. And that's kind of like, you know, when I think when you guys were mentioning earlier about franchises that they kind of change everything. That's kind of why I don't like long franchises. Because they do tend to just do it just for profit and just for doing it. You know, there's no real reason behind it. And that's kind of why I do see the Saw franchise as a franchise that I joke around with it, but like one of the franchises that kind of has to die. Like, I'm sorry, but it kind of needs to die down. Like, I don't want the Saw. I don't want anything. Like, it's done. The trilogy was did it. They did it. We found out why he did it. And that was it. We don't need other ones. And, you know, it just becomes that where it's just there just to do it, you know, and... Yeah, so that was just me, you know. That's kind of why I fell off the Saw bandwagon.
That's all a good point from both of you, because I agree. Honestly, I guess I agree almost completely, because I'm not a fan of torture porn stuff. Like, I'm not even a fan of like that genre. I don't know how many films fall under that genre. I guess definitely I would say Hostel, because after the first Hostel, I was done. Like it was a good film, but I was like, I've heard about the sequels and I was like, I'm not really in this to just watch people get murdered. Like, there's not, okay, cool, we get it. They kill people that are tourists and this, and people pay to murder people. Like, that's okay. That's an interesting concept. But in my opinion, that's not enough of a concept to have a franchise, because it's just like, there's nothing happening beyond the murder. Mm-hmm. Saw kept my attention. And because Jigsaw is interesting. We always pointed out already, Jigsaw is super interesting as a character. Mm-hmm. His motives are interesting, but then the games within the games are really interesting, because it's like, okay, how will he set these people up this time? You know, in the second one, he kind of, the whole police force catches him, and then he kind of gets him to just sit down and listen to him talk because he holds one of the guy's sons captive, and he's like, well, you're going to sit here and talk to me for 2 hours. And you get to know more of the ideology beyond Jigsaw. You get to know more of the world and how the public feels about him and stuff like that as the films go on. And I feel like even in some ways, you could kind of say the cast and crew knew that the franchise was on its dying legs once it killed Jigsaw, because every film after the third one added pieces of his legacy, like added pieces of his backstory and stuff like that. But him as a character, he wasn't directly in it. They would just be like, oh no, he maneuvered this game as well before he died. And it's like, dude, how many games could he have planned before death? Yep. Like, come on, like, get it together. So like, even they kind of, I think, knew in some capacity. But I can't get down with the torture porn stuff. Like, I'm okay with watching horror movies and watch people get killed. That's okay. The Jasons, the Freddies and all that stuff is cool because we know that's just what they are. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in it to be like, okay, what's the new creative way we could watch somebody die? Like, I need a, like Jackie said, and what Cam was saying, I need a plot beyond that. I need like good, clever reasoning beyond just that. Like, give me at least a unique message or something like that. Like, that's what will keep me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just wanted to mention the snuff film thing, not necessarily get into it in depth, but like, I know Jackie, you mentioned it, so you probably are familiar with it, but Cam, are you familiar with the term snuff films or like the history of some of that stuff?
No. What's a snuff film?
It's nothing. We said too much.
You ain't got to go into like in depth, but you can give them a little bit of something.
We said too much. No.
Okay, I'll do it then. Well, basically a snuff film is a video where people would, it's supposed to be a recording of somebody like actually being murdered.
Oh, okay.
And I've only found out about the idea of these things, I would say maybe roughly about 10 years ago, actually. One of my dad's friends, he was talking to me. We were talking about movies or something, and I think I was telling him about a movie I was watching, and he kind of joked at me. He was like, you're not watching a snow film or something, what? And I was like, I think I was like maybe 12. I mean, not 12. I was probably like 19 at the time. So I was like, hold up, what is a snow film? And he was like, well, you know, in like the 80s or so, maybe even further back, he was like, there were horror movies that were like so crazy and so over the top that people assumed that there were like actual murders being recorded. And as Jackie mentioned, the movie Cannibal Holocaust is kind of an example where people assumed that as well, that the director just recorded a bunch of people being murdered and then kind of got it into theaters. But that was an idea that was kind of floating around in the 80s, was that people were being murdered. And then it was being recorded and being shown in movie theaters, and they would call them snuff films. I wouldn't be surprised if people actually did that as well, but it's just that was an idea that was really floating around heavily in the 80s and scared the shit out of a lot of people, on top of the fact that these movies were actually scary. So it was like really, really crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah. That is crazy. Like people, I mean, honestly, people are real gullible though. Like when you think about it, like there's people now, like if you have a good enough film like that, some people really would believe it. Like there's, I don't know, like there's some people, like I said, they see someone say something and they believe everything they say. And I'm like, there's no, like, if it was a real like case or something going on, there'd be like some proof of this actually happening. Like,
yeah, that's a good point, because there, you know, another part of the problem is there's so many things that are based on true stories or based on a real story. And then it's hard to tell what part of the story is real and what part of it is fake. Like, there's a show on Netflix called, I think it's called Haunted, and it's about ghost stories. So it's a lot of like ghost stories or kind of like supernatural stories or nightmares that people have had. And in the show, they essentially like interview the people that they say experience the stories that they're going to show you. And it's like, oh, it's kind of scary because you're like, wow, this like really happened to somebody. But they're not telling you like what parts of the story are real and what parts of it are fake, or whether or not this family is actually a real thing or they just made this up. And there was this really crazy story in one episode about like this father who like him, I think him and his wife, or might have just him, he was like a serial killer. He was like murdering people in his neighborhood, but like nobody really knew because a lot of people that was being killed were like visiting. And then it turned out that he might have been like worshiping Satan. And that's the reason why he did some of the things he's done and why the house was haunted, even in his passing. And like the story is being told from the perspective of his children who live there and who still own the property. And I remember halfway through the episode, I went, hold up, you telling me somebody killed people? The house is possibly like possessed by demons? Like, what the fuck? I had to Google search it because I was like, this sounds so crazy. Like, this had to be a real story, and it was not. So, yeah.
That's crazy. Do y'all believe in haunted houses, though?
I do, because I'm superstitious as fuck. And also, I'm Latina.
Yeah, she's Puerto Rican. You can't play with that.
We don't play with that. Yeah, we don't play with that. So, yeah.
I do in some capacity. I've seen some stuff, but do you?
I do, but I'm the same way. I'm kind of superstitious. So, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm not going to say I fully believe it, because, like, I feel like some of that stuff is kind of like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's definitely spirits. I do believe in that. Like, I do feel like there's, like spirits that are floating around, you know, and stuff like that. But I don't think that this, like, what people see in the movies where there's some demons that'll come out and get you. Like, I don't believe all that. Like, I think that's kind of crazy. You know, hopefully I don't say this and then there's, like, some spirit that comes and gets me one day. But I honestly don't believe all that. But I do feel like this. Like,
they're gonna come to like, oh, a nightmare. I heard you talking shit about me. I heard you talking shit.
Yeah.
I heard you talking shit. What?
Yeah, I agree. At least I hope none of that shit is real like that. Like, it's, and it, honestly, you know, people always have questions about spirits and stuff where they're just like, yo, why are they all bad? Like, they ain't no good ones? Like, stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I believe in it to an extent. I'm not out here, like, you know, saging my house and, like, throwing holy water everywhere because I think somebody going to get me every 5 seconds. But I guess in some ways, I believe in some of this stuff. Like, why not?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but going back to the whole snuff film thing, like, yeah, some of it is fake, but some of it is real. You know, there are real snuff films that exist. You know, they made movies based on it. And there's one in particular movie that was inspired by the, which was called Untraceable. And that was with, I believe, Diane Lane and Colin Hanks. And that was a good ass movie where they do talk about that. They can't find this killer who's literally killing people live on TV, like they live on the internet. They can't trace him. And people like that actually happens. You find that in the dark web. That's why the dark web is so scary and creepy, because there's a lot of crazy people out there. But let me shut up before they find me, because they scare me. I'm scared of the dark web. But you can't talk about it, because then they'll be like, oh, I heard you talking about me. I'm like, I'm not.
That's a good point. You never know who listening.
Yeah, but I feel like that also kind of like does inspire Saw, because Saw was inspired by, you know, a little bit of that. Lay had a really crazy, I think, dream or night. I forgot what it was, but that also was the premise of Saw. And then James Wan was having excruciating headaches, terrible migraines, and then that also gave him the inspiration when they were writing Saw. You know, so. A lot of factors inspired this whole franchise for them. And it's crazy because, like, we always see the sequels. And, you know, we say that how, like, the first three are, like, the top tier for us. They never came back for that. Maybe in the background, like, I think Lay came back for writing. James did come back for certain things in the background, but they never really took creative charge of it, like, in the first one. So a lot of the other stuff was directed by other people, not by them. So none of them
that
did,
explains
like,
a lot.
Yeah, none of them did the other sequels. They only really worked on the first one. The first one was their baby. That was their child. And then the second one and the third one and so on and so on, they just were like in the background. That was pretty much it. They really had they didn't really have anything, like, they didn't want to have like any motivation to do the other films. They're just like, you know, schedules, and also they were just satisfied with the first one. Because they didn't even think the first one was going to get anywhere because it was such a low budget. They had no budget. It was literally filmed in a room. Just a room. And and they just were just like, you know, we'll take it. Oh, no, I know what inspired them. Their Blair Witch Project. That's what inspired Saw.
Oh, yeah.
Their Blair Witch Project. Oh, wow. That's where, yeah. Them watching that movie gave them the inspiration to write Saw.
Yeah. That's
really smart.
Yeah, that's a classic. I haven't seen that movie in a while, to be honest with you.
I love that movie. Scares the shit out of me. But I love it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I only saw it once, but I did enjoy it. You know, I wonder, this may be just like rehashing an idea, but I wonder if the movies like Saw and like Hostel, I'm going to just go with Saw because I feel like Hostel is torture porn. So let's go Saw because I feel like Saw is a lot more clever. I feel like movies like Saw probably get the label of like torture porn and all of that, like because of snuff films and because people think somebody just wants to watch people die. Like, do you think why that's kind of why that label is a thing? Because I don't feel like that label is a good thing, in my opinion.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. Because I mean, we kind of always had body horror because of Hellraiser. We know Hellraiser was the first one to do body horror.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like they associated with that because of that. Because that's basically what it is. You know, like Saw is kind of torture porn. You're basically, as the viewer, you're sitting there and you're watching these characters try to find their way out of whatever it is, you know? Again, I'm going to mention Seven again. Like Seven, I wouldn't say Seven's torture porn because we don't see him torturing people. We see the aftermath of when they find the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we're seeing the process of what they're going through to get where they are. So again, like we're the viewer, we're sitting in here, we're watching the screen, we're watching this unfold. So I guess in a sense, I get why they associate it with torture porn. You know, I mean, yeah, Hostel, like you said, it's just torture porn. They don't hide it. You know, Eli Roth does not hide that.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, yeah, this is torture porn. This is what I do. I mean, he does that a lot because he's a really good director, right? I'm not gonna say anything, but what James Wan and Leigh did though with Saw was different. Like you said, it's smarter because you're not just watching torture porn. You know, you're not just like, you know, I mean, and there are people out there who get satisfaction about that because it's weird. You're crazy if you do. You're a sick bastard. But you're also kind of rooting for them because like, you know, like he says before, he doesn't do this to kill them. He wants them to learn a lesson. He does. There is a chance of escaping. So you're watching this, getting tense, getting anxious along with them. And you're also kind of hoping they make it alive, you know? So I feel like, yeah, I feel like Saw, I get why it's called torture porn, but you know, like you said before, Kendall, like it is so much more than that. It's way more than just typical torture porn. You know, it is way more.
How about you, Cam? Do you think that label is like a mark of death?
Yeah, I think most films, yes, but like she said, like Saw is different because it's not like most films that are like that where it's just like they're just doing it just because like he has a reason behind it. And I think that's what separates it. It's kind of like, I feel like the first film was interesting because it was kind of like a mixture between like a bunch of different genres in one, where it was like kind of like, mm-hmm, a crime thriller where you kind of were like, mm-hmm, kind of curious, okay, like if they're gonna catch this guy or not. And then also at the same time, like you had your torture porn, then you also had the, you know, the aspect of like the psychological aspects that it would affect. Even if they do somehow win the game, they may be scarred just emotionally because they nearly survived. They just barely survived this traumatic experience that, you know, that they thought that they were going to lose their life because they didn't think they would actually make it out of the game. So I think sometimes, mm-hmm, like it's worse to actually make it out than it is to actually die, you know, while you're playing the game, because sometimes it's not worth it. Like, you know, they just aren't able to recover from it. As in the next films that come after this one.
Yeah. I forgot which part of, I think it might've been part five was the one where they show like a therapy group for all the people that have survived.
Yep.
That shit was crazy. I feel like if I woke up in the room and all I heard was time to play a game, I'm gonna just sit there and die. I'm like, ain't no point. It's just no point. I'm gonna just let it go.
Yeah, I mean, they did a replica of the first film with the first room. I forgot where, but it's one of those I don't forget what you call them, escape rooms.
Escape room.
Oh, yeah. And they actually made one. They replicated the whole entire room from Saw, the first one, where you have to escape it. I'm sorry. But if you were to come up to me,
holy shit,
and be like, hey, you want to do an escape room Saw theme? Yeah, I'm unfriending you. I'm blocking you. I'm cutting you off. I don't know you. Don't call me. Don't text me. I don't know you. I'm moving away. I'm moving to a different continent. No.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm a fan, but I ain't doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I feel like they want to kill me. Like, you know, if they're trying to think of something like that, because I feel like they had too much time on their hands. Because, like, honestly, escape rooms in general are kind of scary in itself. Like, mm-hmm, I'm not really big on like doing stuff where I'm enclosed in one spot and I can't have to figure out how to get out. Like, I'm cool watching movies like that, but I don't want to be in a situation like that. Because, like, and then having a Saw theme one on top of that, like, it's like, nah, like, I'm good. Like, I don't know why you want to do this. And I don't know why we have multiple people want to do this. Like, that's the bigger question. When you got multiple people say, yeah, let's all do this. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
But I mean, so I'm gonna say a funny story. So there was a story on Twitter. Somebody who works in one of these escape rooms And she said that how, like, I think one of the doors was locked because, you know, they finished whatever and they supposed to open the doors. And she said that how there was a malfunction. So one of the doors couldn't open. So she's telling the group that were doing the escape room. She was just like, oh, I'm sorry. We're having little, you know, difficulties. You know, we'll get you out here. And then one of the kids that were in the room with her was just like, yeah, we're going to die. And she was just like, what the fuck? What the hell? Are you okay? Like, whoever comes to the escape rooms hoping that happens, you need help. You need help.
Yeah, seriously. You need Jesus or something. You got a problem. But yeah, that kid just, I don't even want to know where he at right now. That's on him. But before we get out of here, Cam, thanks for coming. Tell people about your podcast, man, so get some more listeners.
Yeah. So I got a Between Two Discs podcast, you know, if you want to check it out. And I'll talk to different guests, you know, people in tech, you know, different people of color. I have them on, like to hear their stories. We kind of chop it up, kind of like how we're chopping up on here for this podcast. You know, definitely check it out. Between2Divs.com if y'all want to check it out. I appreciate both of y'all having me on this podcast. It was real fun. We get to talk about different movies and stuff like that. Definitely, if y'all want to have me back on, I'll definitely appreciate that too.
Oh, we will. We will for sure. Mm-hmm. And I just want to toot my own horn and say I did the branding for Cam's podcast. So
yeah, you did.
You see that? You see a little bit of my skills. Jack, you want the last word before we get up out of here?
I don't know, man. Just don't invite me to escape rooms. That's all I'll say. I'm with it. I would dead ass unfriend you. I would dead ass block you. I don't care how long we've been That's friends. Fine. I will do that. Like, I'm not with it. I don't do haunted houses. I will punch a ghost if they come at me. I grew up in the hood. Do not try to scare me. So I'm not with it. And with that, I will say the game is over.